The Last Word on Today FM with Matt Cooper.
We will broadcast the statement from the government, from Taoiseach Micheál Martin, in relation to the increase in the restrictions in Dublin to level 3, with additions in relation to indoor dining and other things. But let's give ourselves a little bit of a break from it for just a little while with our weekly TV spot with Jennifer Gannon and Joe O'Shea joining us. And Jennifer, tell us about a new television show on Virgin Media which reunites people with their first loves.
Yeah, this sounds like a nightmare, to be honest.
Dangerous, I think.
Very, very dangerous territory. And I can see where they're going with this. Like, it's very much of the style of First Dates. It has a, you know, I saw a preview and it has a very gentle kind of sweet vibe. And, you know, they even have the cheery kind of strings as a soundtrack. And I think, you know, we're all fascinated by human interest stories, and especially ones about romance and love. So I guess, I mean, I get what they want to do. They want this to be heartwarming TV, but I was kind of uneasy about the premise, to be honest, because you're parachuting somebody back into someone else's life to tell them that you're still interested in them on national TV. And to put it mildly, that's a bit unsettling, I think, for anybody. And it has the potential to go very, very wrong. And, you know, I'm not giving anything away, but they're not all, not everybody works out, let's put it that way. But
well,
I think,
let's hear a trailer from the show.
Everyone remembers their first love. Its impact on the heart lasts forever.
It hits you like a ton of bricks.
I think I fell in love with David before we even met.
You've no idea how to feel. You've no idea how to act.
He held my hand walking home from school, and my grandfather got so mad.
For some, though, questions remain, and they long for answers.
What did I do? What did I do wrong? Why are you not talking?
And then the letters sort of stopped.
But what if, for one more time, you could meet again? What would you do? What would you say?
I'd like to ask her, is she in her regrets?
I'd love to just apologise and tell the truth. Give me a chance.
Welcome to First Love, a world of romance, intrigue and revelation.
Oh, danger here.
Yes.
What will your current partner think of your interest in somebody from back in the past? Is it an effort by some people to try and rekindle romance that went wrong?
The most of them I've seen are trying to rekindle or just make connections again. And I think where the show works really well is they do these inserts where it's in between the main stories, where it looks like, remember those bits in When Harry Met Sally where they have the couples talking about how they got together and how they fell in love? And that kind of reminded me of Kenneth Wardrop's documentary His and Hers, and they're very good. But the outside of that, I just felt that some of the stories, it can move into something that's a little bit exploitative sometimes. And I just hope when people watch this on Monday that they remember that, you know, anybody that takes part in the show, they're very brave and they're being vulnerable. And you have to remember that these people are real humans.
Joe O'Shea, what do you make of this?
I think the working title was Strictly Come Stalking. You know, this, I mean, everybody's got people in their lives, past flames, let's say, that while they probably wish them all of the best and have lots of happy memories, would not like to see them turn up at their front door at the moment, you know, all these years afterwards. I'm sure there are people that feel that way about me from back in the day. And it's, I can understand it seems like a great idea for a show. But first of all, being a researcher on this show and being a producer must have been the worst job in the world and the toughest job in the world, because what you're doing is you're getting people who are anxious to meet people that they were with before, but it must be really hard to then match them, to go to the people and say, listen, remember this guy, remember this girl, they want to meet up with you again, they want to bring TV cameras, we want to sit down, we want to talk about it. It must be a really difficult show
to make. Is it not a bit like bringing Facebook or LinkedIn to television?
Yeah. It is. And we all know, we all have our own views on Facebook and LinkedIn, and especially Facebook. But listen, again, you know, it could be, if they do it the right way and if it's got the right tone, then yeah, there could be some really nice, stories come out of it. But you do get the feeling that you're almost asking for people who have never been able to let go of somebody, despite maybe that person really wishing they would. You're kind of asking them to come forward, and it's really got a recipe for disaster if it goes wrong, you know?
Okay, well, that suggests compelling viewing. Do you find Tony Connolly and RTE's workwear compelling viewing, Joe? It's certainly causing a stir online.
Well, listen, Tony, he's some man for one man, Tony Connolly. And I was actually delighted. He actually cheered me up no end this week. If people still, you know, a picture
Describe
of him went up on social media.
Him.
Yeah, the picture is on social media. And he's in Brussels, right? And he's doing a live camera shot. So it's kind of from the behind side kind of view of him. And as somebody pointed out, well, he's on top, he's got a, you know, business suit and a tie, the way we always see Tony Connolly and most reporters on TV. But down below, he's wearing a lovely shorts, basically, a kind of formal suit shorts. Which is a look that you do see in Mediterranean countries a lot. You see guys with a shirt and tie and maybe a jacket, but they'll be wearing kind of linen shorts or kind of half trousers and usually very slick kind of like slip-on shoes, no socks.
You sound and like this is something that you'd like to emulate yourself, Joe.
You could be wearing it right now, for all we know.
Listen, Tony Connolly, God bless him, he's the only Irishman who knows how to dress for the weather, because the rest of us are either walking around underdressed in the winter or overdressed in the summer. And he was bang on. It was 28 degrees in Brussels, and as somebody pointed out on on Twitter, it was like a fashion mullet, business up top, party on the bottom. Now, I'm not sure if people want to think about party and Tony Connolly's bottom, but if they want to, go ahead, you know. But listen, I thought he was great. It cheered people up, and I thought he looked good.
All right, okay, let's move on. BBC star salaries are making the news. Gary Lineker has taken a pay cut, but he'll still be making well over $1 million a year, for his example.
Yeah, he will. But like, I mean, I think fair play to him and more power to him if he wants to do that. And I know that he's been very vocal on Twitter about, you know, supporting the BBC when they're going actually through a lot of criticism, a lot of, you know, tough times. And also just the fact that he does seem to think that he's making an obscene amount. At least he knows that himself and he's well aware of it. But I mean, I think for the first time, this is really interesting that there is a lot more female presenters actually in the top 10 earners. And you've got somebody like Lauren Laverne, who works for Six Music. And I followed her career since back in the day when she was in the band Kinnicky. And I think it's amazing to see her, you know, kind of her evolution into this almost John Peel-like presenter, which has just been amazing. And also Zoe Ball, she's now taken over from Chris Evans when he jumped to Virgin, so she's a man in the ship, the breakfast show on Radio 2. She is now has a million pay rise, and Vanessa Feltz as well. So it's a lot. It's nice to see a lot of accomplished women for the first time in that top 10.
Okay, look, let's go to picks of the week to make sure we have time. I want to have a little bit of a chat about your pick of the week, which is, Jennifer, the return of the Great British Bake Off.
It is. It's back on Channel 4 on Tuesday at 8 o'clock. And to be honest, I think we don't really have a lot to look forward to this autumn winter. And with the TV schedule also kind of shrinking and we have a lot of uncertainty, it's nice to know the constant gentle loveliness of Bake Off is back. And even though they're actually going to do the patented, the Hollywood handshake is still going to be there. Paul Hollywood's still going to, you know, not do a COVID little elbow bump piece. He's still into doing the handshake, but they were kind of hermetically sealed off in their tent from the world. And that is, like, for me, really what Bake Off is. It's like a metaphor. It is sealed off from the real world. You feel very comforted by it, and it's got this pastoral feel. And I think even though the judges have changed, Sandy's gone, we now have Matt Lucas. I'm wondering how this will work out, because to be honest, I'm not a big Matt Lucas fan, but I would have wanted someone like Kathy Burke to kind of take over and change things up a bit. So it will be interesting to see the dynamic between him and Noel.
Let's hear a trailer for the new season.
Hello, bakers. Welcome to the tent.
It's back.
I am petrified.
With a fresh batch of bakers.
The sponge has got lumps of butter in. I prefer it like that, to be honest.
And a new addition to the team.
I have the eating age of a 9-year-old.
They can't contain you. You're a maverick.
I'm struggling not to eat a bit more.
That's bone dry.
I feel like I'm definitely on Bake Off now.
I'm going to put a cake in the microwave.
It's all gone wrong.
Oh, dear.
You're not meant to eat them.
No, I know that now.
What the hell is that? It's like a death mask.
What's life without taking a little bit of risk?
It's delicious.
Sorry. You're not supposed to laugh.
The Great British Bake Off returns Tuesday at 8 on Channel 4.
My late father was a baker and confectioner for his entire life, so he worked through it. So maybe that's why I don't particularly have an interest in watching people baking. Joe, does this programme have any appeal to you?
It does. I absolutely love Bake Off. And, you know, I held out against it for years thinking, oh, it's twee and, you know, it's about cakes and how interesting can cakes be. But what I loved about it was the original presenters were fantastic. The tone of the show was fantastic as well. They never made fun of people. They really kind of showcased people who were trying their best. And I never really understood before I watched Bake Off, because I've never baked a thing in my life. I never understood how difficult it is. And and some of the challenges and some of the things they come up with are absolutely incredible. And I love the bread making episodes of it. This is going to be fascinating because apparently they made it in something like 3 weeks and from start to finish, and they just absolutely flew through it because of the conditions that had to be made under. I'm not sure about Matt Lucas. I think that those two guys together are, I'm not sure they're going to be, they're going to have the chemistry you need and the tone you need, because they're two very knowing, kind of ironic, kind of postmodernist, all that kind of stuff guys. And I'm wondering about the kind of heart and the soul of the show, which I think Sandy Toksvig was had a lot of. So I'll be interested to see how they've made it, how it looks, and whether it works.
And do you then try to emulate the baking, no, Jennifer?
I make several small fires in my kitchen. That's all I can do. I can't bake, I can't cook. So I think my sisters find it funny that I watch it because they're actually consummate, you know, food makers. They're very good, and I don't even try and emulate anything. I just watch it for the possible, you know, humiliation of people, but also for the intrinsic goodness of it.
It is hard to, because as I said, my father, so occasionally he would at home make things like wedding cakes for family members, whatever, the extended family, and he would do all the icing and all the rest of it and stuff on it. But it is actually hard work.
It's a science. Yeah. It's a science, yeah. And I take my hat off to anybody that even attempts it. No, I wasn't one of those bread making people in lockdown. I was one of those, please God, hope these noodles aren't gone off kind of person.
You have another few weeks to start practicing your baking by the looks of it. What's your pick of the week, Joel, please?
This week's Primetime Investigates is on RT1, obviously. It's Barry O'Kelly. I think this is going to be a really interesting show. Barry O'Kelly's looking at the importance of whistleblowers in Ireland and the price they pay for speaking out, you know. And there's not a lot of advanced detail. They haven't leaked anything on this show about the whistleblowers. But it's, you know, they're going to be talking about, I guess, you know, the case, I think it was last year, where a whistleblower in the ESB revealed that 1 million litres of oil had been leaked into the soil in Ireland by ESB underground cables. And that was a guy called Seamus O'Loughlin. He'd been working for the ESB for 25 years. And he actually came forward under, you know, most of us know there's a protected provision. So that allows kind of whistleblowers to come forward and have and be protected. So, you know, with all that's going on at the moment and what's going to come out in you know, later on down the road, probably about what's been happening in Ireland this year, there's going to be obviously reviews about how we handled COVID, not saying that there was, you know, there's any malfeasance going on there, but there will be reviews about, there will be mistakes have been made. It'll be interesting to find out, you know, if whistleblowers come forward there, if they're going to be part of the review process of looking back on what happened. And I think this show is really going to kind of give us a very good update and a look at how either easy, hard, difficult, dangerous it is to tell the truth in this country about, you know, things going wrong in high places.
Joe Shea, Jennifer Gannon, thank you both very much for joining us here on The Last Word at Today FM.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Listen live, on air, from 4:30 weekdays on Today FM.